as I was trying to prepare to think about what to bring as an invitation this evening, I came across a little video on YouTube. It was put together by Dennis Prager. If you don't know who he is, he's a conservative talk radio host, and he does several little things on YouTube through a program or a group that he's put together called PragerU. And they've got these little five-minute videos on there. And one of them that kind of caught my eye was talking about why the unhappiness. And in his video, he boils it down to looking at the world, those that are just so unhappy and so angry that there's a lack of gratitude on those parts for the happiness. And you know, Beth can attest to this too. When you see kids in school that are just given everything, that they're not, you know, long have gone the days when we are writing letters of gratitude for things that we've gotten, for presents, for Christmas presents, for birthday presents, for graduation presents. You know, all that's really gone by the wayside, and especially with social media now, we're getting so far away from just even dropping a little note, thank you, and really truly meaning that. But what Dennis says through this video is gratitude is really one characteristic that can help drive down happiness in people if they'll just take a minute and think about what they have, what they do have, and not what they're owed. Not, you know, they think they're a victim and they're owed something by the government, by the government, by other classes of people, anything like that. They'll just look, I mean, because when you look at our country and you compare it to other places in the world, where are they coming? They're risking their lives coming from Central America and South America across the Rio Grande to come into America. They're wanting to come to this country. And yet we have so many in this country that are just so angry and want something else, and they don't understand to be grateful for what we do have here, because we have it so much better. Even the poor here in this country have it so much better than the poor that's in Africa, you know, Central America, South America, places like that. Just so much that we have to be grateful for. Putting this in a spiritual context, and we've talked about it some tonight too, we can look back at the Jews. Everything that we've studied so far in the Old Testament, leading up to where we are right now, especially, we can see the times when they were unhappy and what led to that. Their loss, their ungratefulness for what God had done for them. If you look through the book of Judges, that's what it's all about. We've talked about the cycle when the Jews were obedient to God, being grateful for what he had done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, giving them victories over their enemies. They kind of grow lax. They start going into idolatry. They're oppressed. So we see them as a nation. That unhappiness boil up. They're oppressed for years. And then they cry out to God, try to make amends for that again, going back to him and showing them the gratitude that he so rightly deserves for what he's done for them. God sends a deliverer. And we have the cycle start over and over again. But let's think about everything that God has done for us. Let's bring it forward to us today. John 3:16 says it very easily. A memory verse that we, you know, learned when we were really young. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God has given us the greatest gift of all, his Son, which... For whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given that to us. He said he would in Genesis 3, when he gave the curse to the serpent, that through him, his son would bruise the serpent's head and bring down Satan once and for all. We see that with the promises given to Abraham, that through his seed, all nations will be blessed. God gave this world the greatest gift of all. So, the question is, how can we show our gratitude to God? This question was asked to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, and not necessarily in those words, but Pharisee asked them, "What?" Get down here to it. Make sure I'm in there. Yeah, in verse 37 or 36, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So the first thing we can do to show our gratitude and our love towards God is to love Him. As we've talked about, especially here in the last few months, seeing the children of Israel taken off into captivity and the prophets that came before them, their messages were not real flattering to them. They were called adulterers, adulteresses. They were called so horrible things for what they did. They pushed God aside, gave them probably the most prime real estate in this region, that being Israel. Land flowing with milk and honey. It was everything He told them it would be, and they could have it as long as they followed His statutes, His commandments, His judgments. But they pushed that aside. Staying here in Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. "Now behold, one came to him and said, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." The young man asked the question, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him very plainly, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "I've done all those things." And he tells him, "Then go sell, to be perfect, go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you'll lay up treasures in heaven, and come follow me." And the young ruler went away sorrowful. He was unhappy because Jesus told him what he needed to do to show God the gratitude he deserves for eternal life. But he couldn't get over, "I have to give everything that God gave me to the poor to be perfect." But let's compare that to the Ethiopian eunuch. We won't read everything here in Acts chapter 8, but as he's going along and Philip comes and begins preaching to him, there the passage that's in Isaiah, he preaches unto him Christ. They pull up to water, and he says, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip 7, verse 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He made that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And through that, through being baptized, he was able to put on Christ and able to start beginning to show the gratitude to God, being obedient to the word that God desires, that we need to show our Creator that has given us everything that we have. Going back to Matthew 22, but that's not the only commandment that Christ said. In verse 38, or in verse 39, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So loving our neighbor. Think about two examples that come to mind right off the bat. The Good Samaritan. How Jesus was asked, well, who is my neighbor? Well, let me tell you this parable about these three men. And the first two that should have known what to do to be obedient to God, to be grateful, to love our neighbor, were the priests and the Levites, and they walked right on by. It was the Samaritan, the outcast, the one that showed the man what it truly meant to be a neighbor, to a complete stranger, one that would Jews look down on them. James tells us in James 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. John tells us as well in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So showing our love, showing our gratitude for God, we keep his commandments. Jesus told us what those are, very simply. To love the Lord your God with everything that you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And why do we do that? Paul tells the Romans in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So tonight, have you showed Christ, have you showed God the gratitude he so rightly deserves? Being our creator, giving us life, giving us what we have now, and above all, giving us hope, giving us that eternal life through Christ. Have you shown your gratitude to him, or have you fallen back into the world as the Jews did so many times when they let things in the world creep in and take them away from having the right attitude and showing that right love towards God? So tonight, if there's anything that the brethren here can help with to make those corrections in your life, we ask that you come as we stand, as we sing.